town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
All right, welcome back to Common Folk.
Let's go with podcast for the people, by the people.
Here we are in the studio sweating our asses off.
I was just going to say that. It's a hot, nasty day.
It's a little warm.
We only have a few of these days left, so let's enjoy them.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody I know just the other day. He was talking about how a welcome change fall's going to be, but then it's like real quick. Zero wind chill, shitty roads.
Mm-hmm. That first icy morning, everyone's like, ooh. But I think it just, I said it before, I think it's what makes me, anyway, really appreciate all the different seasons. And I feel kind of lucky being from the Midwest, this part of the Midwest, where we really do experience it all.
Yep.
Hellacious heat, devastating cold, freezing temperatures.
Right.
And then we get about a week here and a week there of just perfect 72 degrees, partly cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take this heat, though, over that freezing.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a email from my, thermostat in your house.
Mm.
And it gives you like a recap of the month or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it said last month, what did we do? It was like 40, the air conditioner was on 42 or 46 more hours than July the previous year.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. An increase of like 29% usage.
We don't turn it down.
In 2025 over 2024.
Right. Ashley gets those notifications, those texts, because we got a smart meter and all that, new HVAC a couple years ago. So I'll have to ask her about that.
But yeah.
We try to do that too. Like, we can survive at 73, 74, right? It doesn't need to be 70 or 72. And I don't know.
Yeah.
We're pretty steady at 72.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I ever change it, the next time I walk by it, I see it's changed back. So I'm not really sure who does that.
I'll admit I do.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I don't want to be in stuffy house. We know people, even my parents, their house is like 76. That's dumb.
I wouldn't do that for sure.
Yeah. Like, just come on.
Yeah.
Just spend the extra money.
You know, and
be
when,
comfortable.
Right.
Ain't nobody want to go to bed. And they say you should sleep in the cold.
Yeah.
So
you
sleep better.
Yeah.
Are you drinking a tall boy?
No.
Like your youngest kids at school, and now you're already drinking?
Told you guys. This is the summer of tea and lemonade.
Okay, well, it just looked like, you went to the gas station, got a big old...
It's even the light, less sugar. Like, I even...
good decisions.
Yes, I am.
Was that guy on the movie, Adam Sandler movie?
No.
Oh, did he pass away?
Oh, wait. No, I don't think he was.
He never was.
Oh, I thought he was in the movie. Like, there were a bunch of old guys. He wasn't one of them.
He wasn't one of them.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know the golf legends. So.
No, but there was, you're right in that train of thought. There was a couple famous.
Okay.
Yeah.
And didn't they talk about it? They were like, can I get you a drink? And he's like, Arnold Palmer? Or they said something funny about it.
I'm sure they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just thought that was the guy then.
He made this drink famous, and he's one of the top... You can make the argument top two, top three golfers of all time.
He is. Okay.
He passed away in 2016.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so that is...
Yep. And he, like a lot of these guys, he stayed in great shape. I think he might have golfed the Masters like in 2012, 2014. Like, once you win that tournament, green jacket, gold jacket, you get invited back every year. And so it's like just a part of the deal, like... All those old boys that won it way back in the day, like in the 60s and 70s, they still get to go back and partake in that tournament.
I like that.
It was really cool to see him and some of his old buddies, his old rivals, mm-hmm. every year. It was just kind of part of that tournament. It's really neat.
What's in the Arnold Palmer?
Tea lemonade and lemonade.
And tea. Yeah.
So doesn't Daly have a drink that's like the arrival of that?
Well, what would that be?
But it has a lot more vodka in it.
It's vodka. So a true Arnold Palmer does not have alcohol in it?
No. Correct.
Okay. So a John Daly is an Arnold Palmer with vodka in it.
With vodka, yeah.
Okay.
But I think everyone just says Arnold Palmer even at the bar.
Right.
And you know what it is. I've never heard someone say, I need a John Daly.
Well, John Daly has his own line now of alcoholic drinks, and it's taken off. It's doing
those
good.
Good boy ones or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen those.
I think those might have popped up in that movie. I can't remember for sure.
I bet they did.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh,
don't.
Andy.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. I know.
What are you waiting for?
Everybody's telling me I need to get to it.
Just a little.
Watch it
just
tonight.
A little snippet. He is a full-on raging alcoholic in that movie.
John Daly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I believe it. That's a tough sell.
It's hilarious.
Did you think he wouldn't be? No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, it's good.
All right. Stuff. Well, I just had to comment on that big old boy sitting there. So.
Yeah, yeah. And
it looks good.
I didn't mean to buy the light, but that's all they had at the gas station. So
tastes
it's
good.
All good. Yeah, I love them.
Sweet. So today I've been marinating on this subject a little bit because we've been going through it from all different angles over the last, I feel like year, maybe longer. And so I wanted to bring it to the table today. Let's chat about it. I know we're not the only ones. So let's chat with the common folk and hear what everyone else has to say and see if anybody can relate.
Let's do it.
But that is the subject of insurance. And I'm talking all things insurance. I'm talking health insurance, car insurance, home insurance, insurance on your personal articles, wedding rings, you know, all the things. And I've got stories on all of these.
Like fire insurance for your home. Stuff like
that. Yeah.
Your opener kind of sounds boring, though. I might have tuned out by now.
Okay, like insurance. Well, make it more interesting.
Yeah, you got to get into the stories.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into the stories.
The stories are good, but like just insurance in general sounds boring.
Well, the interesting part is going to be, for folks that are listening, is to, because I'm sure everyone is having their own struggles. I'm sure everyone is experiencing a lot of the same thing. And to kind of hear what we're experiencing and see if maybe there's any kind of solutions, maybe. Okay. Maybe not. But yeah. let's chat about it. Let's see what the common folk think. So to begin with, I've thought a lot about this and just insurance in general. I want to ask you guys, who do you think insurance is for? I mean, why did insurance even exist? Like, without thinking too hard about it, who's insurance for?
Well, it's for me, the consumer, right? And it's protecting me from things that are out of my hands. And it's there to save me in case I get into a pinch. And I'm like, I don't want to say I'm conned into believing that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we're going to throw it out there that, yes, your house on top of the hill will be taken away by a flood. And when that happens, this insurance, you know, that you're paying into, we'll just swoop in there and we'll pay for everything. We'll make it just right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, right? For sure. Yeah. That's a good answer, and I mean that's the
right answer.
That's what they all want us to believe. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to that in terms of, you know, if you own a $200,000-$500,000 home and natural circumstances take this home out, and you can't afford to rebuild it. Sure, there's something to that, but in the end, most of us have a mortgage on our house, right?
Yeah.
And for the most part, the mortgage is probably at least half the value of the house. So what happens if we don't have insurance and the tornado takes the house out? Who also loses, or who loses even more, at least monetarily? Well, that would be the bank. That would be the
That would be the
person who's holding the note.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Oh, geez.
So
it's not really protecting. Oh.
Right. So the insurance is actually protecting them, making sure that their investment is protected.
Well,
but then why aren't they paying it?
Well,
good question.
That's a good question. And then it also leads me to, you know, our governments and state and federal governments aren't mandating and making us get insurance.
Weird, but actually,
to protect the lenders.
Actually, they are. Let's go to things like car insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You cannot operate a vehicle without vehicle insurance.
In Nebraska.
Sure, yeah, at least Nebraska is really all I know about, but I would assume most other states are similar.
My cousins work in insurance out in the state of Washington, like Spokane and Seattle. And they, last I knew, they didn't have to have insurance. So it was kind of a tough sell. But as I was getting to with kind of the pitch, you're led through the nose to believe you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also playing, it's kind of playing on your, we don't want to lose something. We'd rather not risk losing something than risk winning something or bettering. You know,
it's playing on an
old psychological trick of the human mind that was built up through evolution, you know, where it's like, we've already done the hunting. We got this big load of meat. I'll do everything to protect it. I don't want to lose our haul. You know, I would rather protect that than risk something else to go get more, you know.
Sure.
So it's insurance is, you know, some people call it evil. you can kind of see why people draw those parallels.
I mean, in the end, you can see there's some scenarios where it's going to be beneficial and it saves some people and mm-hmm. things like that happen. But if it weren't there, that's my question. What I'm challenging people to think is, if it weren't there, then what would happen? Like, who would actually lose out?
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure we've known somebody back in the day that didn't have car insurance. I'm sorry, medical, so that's medical, but was driving a car and got hurt. And guess what? Everything still got paid for.
Yeah.
That's the other problem.
So, like, I don't know. Is it a risk? So you're saying people have to have it in Nebraska, but you can obviously still be illegal and you're driving around. So right. if you hit somebody, then that somebody is screwed.
So
right?
you hear about it all the time of people getting into accidents without vehicle insurance.
Yeah.
Because you have to have vehicle insurance to get the license plate.
Mm-hmm.
So then they get it and then they'll just cancel their insurance and not pay for it and they'll still drive around.
Oh.
They're driving around illegal, but no one knows it on the surface because the license plate's there and all those things. So then they get in an accident. It's their fault. They don't have insurance. Yeah. What happens? I mean, they get a ticket.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The ticket's probably $100.
Yeah, I don't know. And
it's cheaper than someone hitting somebody.
They may or may not get their license suspended for a little bit of time, probably until they reinstate their insurance, they just need to go do. But in the end, the person who they hit is the one that gets screwed. That person's been paying the bill.
Yeah.
That person's insurance mm-hmm. may have some kind of rider that then steps in and covers it for them, since the party that hit them didn't have insurance.
Yeah.
But then theirs just goes up.
Right.
And not only theirs, everybody else's in the system that's within that same company goes up because they got to spread all their risk.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the whole thing is just like, go ahead.
If you play by the rules, you get punished in this system?
Right.
Huh. Boom. Huh. So now I'm going to get into it on a couple of these things. Well, first of all, we haven't said anything about, I'll go back to car insurance here in a second, remind me of that. But we haven't said anything about health insurance.
Oh,
so
dear.
Health insurance, what happens if, okay, so we have health insurance. We're led to believe that we need health insurance,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What happens if you don't have it and you just touched on it? You get in an accident, you break your arm, you get mm-hmm. rushed to the ER, they fix you, they have an obligation to work on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do that, and then you don't have health insurance, then what happens?
What happens?
You get $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in bills from the ER. What if you can't pay them? What happens?
Well, then it goes, the hospital calls you, and you say you can't pay. They're you know, they want it paid off in a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So you can't, and they're like, well, I'm going to send it to collections. You're like, okay, send it to collections.
Right.
And then you pay 50 cents a month till you're dead.
Yeah,
because as long as you're paying,
mm-hmm.
and they can't come after you.
And again, what if you can't? What if you just tell them, I literally can't pay this?
I don't know.
What ends up happening in many cases is it just goes away. They just write it off.
Yeah.
But then the masses pay for it because they have to increase the price on everything else to be able to cover that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just a big circle jerk mess.
Oh, so you're saying United Health, or I don't want to say names, but some of these bigger guys that have made headlines last couple of years
mm-hmm.
for not paying premiums, which it kind of looked like they should have been.
They're
doing us a solid, though. They're keeping the premiums down
right.
by not paying out. But still, even if they don't pay out, where does it go? Who's picking up the tab? Because the doctor did the surgery or got you that medication or put you through the treatment, whatever it was. So there's still – somebody has their hand out money's getting exchanged.
Yeah.
But it just changes from who to who.
Yeah.
From where to where.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty cloudy very quickly.
And in the end, when you go back and you kind of wipe away all that mess that we just talked about, again, who is the insurance – protecting. It's protecting the care provider, if that's what you want to call them, or whatever it is, the hospital, the people that are billing, to make sure that they get their money. That's what's happening.
Oh, really? It's not protecting me?
Yeah, no. Sorry.
This is one of those classic one percenter arguments. And there's a tale out there, and I have no reason to believe it's not true. Our boy here in Omaha, Warren Buffett,
mm-hmm.
He's one of the main stakeholders or founders of Geico Insurance, one of the big insurance providers. Mm-hmm. As the story goes, he got something passed in the state of Nebraska years and years ago where if you could prove to the government that you had $10,000 or $20,000, I think it was $10,000, tucked away and it was safe and nobody had access to it and it was like a rainy day fund, then you didn't have to get car insurance. Mm. But you had to prove that you had $10,000 stole away over here and it's not being tampered with. It's ready to go in case you get in a car accident. So here's the guy that owns the majority portion or something to that effect of one of the largest insurance providers in the world, and he doesn't even have auto insurance here in Nebraska.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Why?
because he knows what Ben knows. Because
the dude's very smart about money, and he knows it's a complete waste of his money. And he knows where it's all going.
He's willing to be on the taking side, but not the giving side. Not even a little bit to his own company. Yeah.
You know who suffers, I just keep thinking about too, is the health insurance, is the people that honestly are not probably working for a big company. Because us, as self-employment people, we get the shit end of the deal. We get, like, our rates are super high, whatever. If you're not, so, like, to the point of when people are like, oh, yeah, I work this job because they have great insurance. Dude, I ain't faulting you for that one effing bit.
You know who I think of a lot of times? And it's because I follow him on Facebook and other places. But remember TNS Farms? When we took the show on the road, and she wanted to get out of her day job so she'd come home and focus on their dairy side of things. You know, they're getting into milk and cheese and egg production, but she couldn't do it because of
health insurance. I mean,
you're not even allowed to live your best life or do what you want to do, which isn't outlandish. I just want to produce good things on my farm for people. Mm-hmm. And we're tied to this notion, this idea, this drain of insurance that is stopping us from, anyway, some of us from living our best lives, in my opinion.
Right.
Let me tell you a couple of things that are going to make you mad. So have you heard...
Glad I came in today.
Yeah. Thanks.
Have you heard this narrative that, Mother Nature is just absolutely just wiping everything out? You know, insurance companies are just struggling. They're having to increase rates. You know, roof replacements are at an all-time high. You know, global warming has got hail flying all over the place, and wind is ripping shingles off the houses, and all these things. It's more expensive than ever to repair stuff. Raw materials are through the roof. You know, these poor insurance companies, man, they're just getting bent over, and they've got to increase rates, right?
Real tough COVID.
This is what we've heard, right? This is all the stuff we're being told. I mean, I don't know, more. You don't listen to a whole lot of stuff. Have you heard that? Or
I mean, I would. You probably heard not it from believe
me.
It.
You probably heard me bitch about it.
I've heard it a few times.
So, let me tell you what it says online here. The insurance industry, particularly the property and casualty sector, which is what we're talking about, reported record high profits in 2024. Hmm. Property and casualty insurers achieved a record $169 billion in profit in 2024. This represents a 90% increase from the previous year and a 330% increase from 2022. I mean, that's really all you need to know. I can go further.
Yeah.
It says it coincides with auto insurance rates being raised by an average of 26%, home insurance rates being raised by double digits. This is all in 2024. Overall premiums collected by property and casualty companies surpassed $1 trillion for the first time ever.
So why are they feeding us this then?
It's absolute bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
These guys are making more money than they've ever made.
Yeah.
We're being led to believe that it's our fault, because we've caused global warming.
Yeah.
We've done all of these things. That's poor insurance companies.
You didn't buy the blue trash can bin. You know, you're not recycling. It's your fault.
Yeah. And our rates are through the roof. We're up 26% on auto. I looked up real quickly just Nebraska. Nebraska's up just over 22. 72 from 2019 to 2024, Nebraska is up over 72% in homeowner rates.
Holy shit.
Yeah, see, and that's really disheartening, and it's just so ugly. And you know, they're not even, and I hate to say they, when I say they, I'm talking about, you know, the one percenters and these companies, right? If you just increased it 10% or less every year, just kept kicking us in the dick, Mm-hmm. We could probably stomach it.
That sounds like property tax. That's what happens with property
tax. Yeah, so. Yeah. So we bitch about it and roll
a few
our
percentages
eyes.
Every single year. Just keep it jacking.
Just keep it jacking. But I mean, this is just so egregious. Something has to change. And I hate going back to when, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago when the government just decided to print a bunch of money and send it out for free. You really can't do that because then the powers that be want that money.
Yeah.
And they're accustomed to getting that money, and they're going to get it. So every time you hear, oh, I saved money by doing this or I saved money by doing that, it's like, yeah, but where does it end up? Where's the funnel going?
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that by printing all that free money and then thinking that was going to help, that there's a counteract.
Yeah.
There's a counterbalance to everything.
Totally
agree. I just can't believe they're getting so out of whack that you said something over a 300 some odd percent in profits on property tax or insurance.
Increase,
that just blows my mind.
Unbelievable.
You know, and how are the common folks surviving?
Yeah, how can you?
How can you have a 5,000 acre farm, do farm stuff, and be okay?
Yeah, yeah. The one of the other numbers it shows here, if we're talking about Nebraska in particular, the average annual cost of homeowners insurance in Nebraska is over $5,900. That breaks down to almost $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
$500 a month for
homeowners
insurance.
I mean, how are these new kids ever going to get home?
Exactly. None of these kids can. Yeah, exactly.
Our kids 100%. Are going to be living with us.
There's so many problems. $500, man.
Yeah.
Like most people, I don't know, I guess not, maybe most people, maybe not, probably most people, their car payment is not even $500.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, your car that we bought new last year is like $300,
yeah.
$350.
Okay.
$500 a month just for insurance.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Just on the house, man.
I know. And then you look at that and you can see why people like Agent Blue, hope we get him back on soon enough.
Oh, I'd love to hear his take on this.
Where he's like, well, yeah, this is all part of the 15-minute agenda where we don't want people to own homes. We don't, like, it's not hard to draw that
parallel,
to connect those dots. And I'm going to stay on this virtuous side, high side, I don't know. But I don't think it goes that deep. I think people are too stupid, especially like organizations. I think they're too stupid and incoherent. It's just greed. It just goes back to good old greed.
Yeah, because those big CEOs, is that what you're thinking? Like, are still making the money or what?
CEOs, fine. Pay them whatever.
Guys knocking down millions and millions.
Yeah, but it's more about what they can do to impress their shareholders, lining their pockets. Angel investors, if you know anything about what an angel investor is, that's just disgusting. That wrecks good companies. And all of that just goes back to good old greed. Nothing more, nothing less. There's no sinister 15-minute,
What's at the base of greed?
Money.
Every single time, dude. Every single time.
It feels like it should be more than that, though, doesn't it? Like, shouldn't there be something better than just money?
I wish it would be something more than that, but if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that it's just not.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Well, and you get caught up in that game, and you just want to squeeze it a little more, and I can't fault these bad guys, these CEOs. They're just doing their job.
Yeah.
You know, and they're doing what they are supposed to do by the good of the shareholders and taking the company public. You know, it's not, once again, I don't want to make them be malicious, but when you get into something like health insurance, they don't give a shit if you live, die, if you're stuck on medication, if you need no.
Right.
You know?
Do you think, like, if you were to think about it, if you're just watching regular TV, I don't know if you watch regular TV that has commercials.
Sometimes, I guess.
Well, if you do, and maybe some people that listen to this do, we do all the time. Top three categories that you see commercials for, insurance is 100% in there.
Totally.
It's like every other commercial.
It's a drug a lot of times.
Yeah, it's usually drug companies, property and casualty insurance, Sarah McLaughlin crying about
dogs.
Yeah, just sick dogs. Yeah.
Give me your money.
That's usually what it is. It's those three. Yeah. But and that's really all you need to know. Like all you need to know is watch that.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally see how much money is being spent on advertising.
Yeah.
And the profits are there or else this much isn't getting spent on advertising. But it's weird that they have to advertise so much because Well, we're required to have it.
But it's an arms race, right?
It is.
It's Allstate versus State Farm versus Farmers Mutual.
Oh, that's
but
what
I,
it is.
But I feel like it is. But I'm going to get into some of our experiences here lately. Is I've been shopping them, and they're basically all the same. They're within a couple $100.
So like, oh, I thought you were going to go down the route like. Remember when we had Charles Barron, Farmers Business Network? Uh-huh. He goes, yeah, there's 15 different soybean varieties and seeds and bags of seed, but there's really only three. There's three brands.
Oh, sure.
And
they all just coming from the same place or whatever. Yeah. Oh.
So like Wells Fargo underwrites all of them. So forget about the different logo.
That wouldn't surprise me actually if that exists in the insurance industry, that there's a couple big underwriters for all of them. That's the money that's backing them.
Yeah.
But the prices, I mean, you're not saving yourself a whole lot. And when you're talking about an average of $6,000 a year on a house, if it's $200 or $300 one way or the other, it's not equating too much.
Right. You just want to go with your friend, the guy that you grew up with that's now an insurance salesman.
Yeah.
And God, doesn't that suck? Like, he's the guy you hate now.
And he's just
selling insurance.
Yeah. And the attack on those guys is coming out of left field as well. And it's from the big insurance companies. Mm. And why? Because now those guys are a middleman. They're being billed as the middleman. It used to be that they were their local, you know, in the neighborhood salespeople.
Outreach.
Now it's, nope, they're a middleman and they're taking part of the profit. You want to save money? Come to us direct.
Oh, so, okay, yeah. All right, yeah. Yeah, you're seeing that with a lot of the technology and the apps, the availability. Just take a shitty picture with your shitty phone and send it into our shitty app service, and we'll take care of you.
My current agent, which is new within a few months here, I'll let you know.
So you saved $200?
we went, this particular company, I'll just keep the companies out of it for now. This particular company that we went with, I went online and shopped them there. I called the agent. I said, why are they showing me this price online? It's a little bit less than yours. He goes, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. It's because they pay me a commission.
Hmm. Yeah.
They want you to just go direct to them. Mm. And I said, all right, I'm going to pay the additional $30 a month or whatever it is to have... Yeah. You, one guy I can call, somebody who can take care of me, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's some value in that. But either way, they're trying to push those guys out.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had some pretty high windstorms last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did get a new roof put on our home, and we lost a lot of shingles and this and that. And now that I think about how that all went down, our insurance guy was cool. He was nice, but he's from up in Omaha. You know, he didn't come down. He didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. In fact, how it all got done was a former agent who's now in the business of building roofs.
Mm.
He goes, you have me come out and give you a free estimate. I will get this taken care of and we'll get you a new roof and I'll deal with the insurance and you won't pay a dime. I'm like, all right, I'm going to call your bluff. Come on out. And by God, he did it. He goes, I worked in the insurance for this company. Like, I think he said 5 to 7 years. I knew exactly what the verbiage, the words that they wanted to see, the pictures they wanted to see. And by God, he did it. And now I'm starting to see more and more of that where you get your feet wet in this game and you take it over that game. So you know the racket, called a racket. And then you can play the game, which, so in that regard, I guess I'm a bad guy because everyone's everyone's went up because I got a new
The area, right? Yeah. And has your premium gone up at all?
No, not noticeably.
Yeah.
You know, it was just all within what I would consider normal.
I'm sure it's coming.
Hey, yeah.
I would dig in because most likely it's happening.
Sure.
So when, let's go to, first of all, what you were saying about the roofing, I also think that's, there's a bit of an issue there in what some of these roofing companies are doing. And how they're making money and how much money they're making.
Right.
But on the other hand, when I look at it and I see these record profits from the insurance companies, I also think to myself, well, maybe they're not charging enough.
Well, or else they're part of the game. The insurance needs claims, right? And there's this big old pot of money that everyone's paid into their entire lives or ever since they owned a home. There's X amount of dollars that we'll say you're allowed to pull out of. And shareholders need to get that money. You need to have a front. You need to, what do we spend the money on? Roofs.
Yeah.
Roofs.
Yeah.
Okay, good. These are good boys that have been through the system that understand how much we need to make, how much we'll allow them to make. You know, like it's, once again, I don't know why I call everything a racket, but that's kind of what I feel like it is.
When I see a roofing company you know, making massive amounts of money, and it's, you know, nine times out of ten, it's just some small business individual who's mm-hmm. decided to get into that category yeah. and make it work. I applaud them for making it work. They see some kind of hole in the system where they can make money, mm-hmm. But they make really good money. My cell phone's Verizon. We've got a Verizon business account. There's a guy there that's kind of assigned to my account. His name's Camilo. Camilo, I think is his name.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly where he's from. Somewhere in South America, but anyway.
Camilo.
Yeah. I go and talk to him, and he talks to me about small business. You know, he's like, oh, what do you do? You know, whatever. And he's like, man, you need to get into roofing. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I do roofing. I've got a roofing business too outside of this Verizon thing. He's like, you can't make any more money than that. I was like, tell me how to get in, brother.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all ears, my man.
Hire me today. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Well, and a lot of the big players, as far as like, let's say your top three roofers here in this area, I would venture to say, like all the other construction companies that I've dealt with in the past, they'd be willing to take you on so they can like sublease or sublot, you know, some mm-hmm. of this work out, because they can't take on all this work.
Yeah.
So if you have a good enough reputation and you're willing to just do the, let's say, the shit jobs or the jobs, the smaller jobs that they just don't want to dick with, but mm-hmm. they still want that contract. Mm-hmm. I think there is a pretty easy.
Yeah.
There's a barrier. It's not a barrier to entry as there might seem to be.
Yeah. So anyway, home insurance, we've talked a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about vehicle insurance. So again, you know, I've got three kids driving now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got five vehicles plus an ATV that all, you know, have some kind of vehicle insurance.
Sure.
So all that's coming to a head. I'm starting to get bills of like $900-something a month for mm-hmm. vehicle insurance.
Yeah.
So I start digging in. You know, it's really pissing me off. I'm just like, this cannot be, right? Yeah. So I start talking to these other companies. Well, one of the things that I find out is obviously the number of claims that you've had are going to drive your price. You know, you're more of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down with a different agent, and he's going through all these things. And you know the difference between a comprehensive and a collision claim on your vehicle. Do you know what that is?
No.
So like your collision is going to be if you get in an accident, you've been in an actual collision, mm-hmm. there's going to be a claim for that. A comprehensive is going to be didn't necessarily involve a collision. So you get hail, you're driving down the road, your windshield gets chipped, you need to get your windshield replaced.
Yeah, okay.
It's things like that that don't have to do with a vehicle collision.
You're driving down a gravel road and an 18-wheeler sends a rock at you and yeah. you got a little chip.
That goes under comprehensive. Okay. Yeah.
You just called it in.
Right. So my agent pulls up and he's like, oh man, dude, or this guy who I'm shopping, he's like, you got like seven claims on your history. And I was like, what? And he shows them all to me, and like four of them are comprehensive. And we look at them, we start digging in, and I go, all four of those are windshields. And they were windshields that I got a chip. No, not all four of them were windshields. I think three of them were windshields. One of them was a deer hit. A deer hit's a comprehensive, even though it is a collision, but it's not a collision with another vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, three windshields and a deer hit. And I said, as soon as those happened, I called my insurance company, reported it, never took the time to take it in and have it fixed. By that time, I traded the vehicle off. The damage was so light that the place I traded it to didn't care,
mm-hmm.
and we moved on. The claim never got paid.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Ooh, well, you're getting dinged for that, and there's no way around it." I said, dude, they didn't pay a dime.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, it doesn't matter. In the insurance industry, you made a claim, you get hit for it.
God, and you're told.
So don't make a claim.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. That's such bullshit.
Right.
Oh my
gosh. So I call my current agent, mm-hmm. and I go, dude, I did everything you told me to do. As soon as I hit the deer, that night I called you and let you know what happened. We got things started. I made the decision not to have it done. So you guys didn't have to pay, and I traded the thing off and it went away. And you're going to charge me for that? And he's like, well, it's just what the company does. You know, don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
He told me the only thing that they're willing to wipe away in that scenario in some cases is if you've had a hailstorm come through, you call in, I need my roof inspected. They come in and inspect. That starts a claim. They come and inspect it and they say, no, the roof is fine. They're willing to wipe that away.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not willing to wipe any of these vehicle ones away. So that goes ahead and hits you to the tune of $100, $200 a month on your premium.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
How long does it stay there for?
In that particular case, it was 5 years.
Oh, and you're my just, gosh.
God, you're just doing what you were led to believe, told to believe is the right thing to do.
So you need a side guy that can do stuff, then you don't claim it.
Again, so then it goes back to my original question.
Who pays it?
What do we need insurance for?
Right.
Because then if that was the case, if we just kept the money in our account, which a lot of people aren't disciplined enough to do that, but if you kept $5,000-$10,000 in your account and you had those kinds of things happen and you just go find somebody to do it on
and
the
pay
side,
cash.
Cash, they're going to do the same kind of work, whatever, that's a completely different system.
Yeah.
Right? But all those repairs are built on this insurance system charging max amounts they can charge because they can. That's the way it has to work because the insurance company is going to pay for it.
Yeah, cancel it all. Let's just run the risk.
Well, we're not allowed to.
Well sure. Let it lapse.
Well, look into that Warren Buffett rule. Let's see if that's true or not. I bet he does have something going on where he doesn't pay every month.
I mean, I'm running a risk walking on the damn sidewalk. Might as well just run a risk driving every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
we're all going to meet our maker one day. Might be tomorrow. Might be when I'm 80.
Okay. Still need insurance. No. Yeah. Doesn't
matter.
Nah. Man. I don't. Yeah. That's a tough scenario.
That's so crappy.
It's also where, I don't know. For me growing up, and I grew up on a farm, right? You guys have been there in Lynch. That's a true blue through and through farm.
Right. Legit.
And then my dad and uncles, their experiences in the military, I was always kind of shocked how they love our country, but our government, like you were saying, meh, you know?
Meh. Yeah.
So they're always kept everything real tight to the vest. And if somebody doesn't need to know something, like a rock hitting my windshield, they never said anything. Mm-hmm. So I was always kind of, if you can keep your mouth shut, keep it shut. Mm-hmm. And so like, there's been times where, I probably should have called an insurance adjuster or agent and said, hey, guess what happened? I did this. But I never once. Yeah. So we would go years and years without filing a claim. You guys know our last claim.
Yeah.
Me backing up into a car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I forgot. But
that was the first time I talked to an insurance agent. I bet over 10 years.
Yeah.
So,
and also that's part of the thing that really pisses me off about this whole scenario is that doesn't get taken into account like that loyalty.
Oh yeah. No. Right? Yeah.
I mean, up until 3-4 months ago, I had the same insurance company my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
When I was born, my parents got me
I bet your parents kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents got me a life insurance policy with this particular company. They were with this particular company. When it came time for me to drive, my car insurance was through them. When it came time for me to be an adult, everything just got transferred over to me, and we stayed with that. When I got married, my family got, you know, all these things. That's how it's all worked. I mean, you're talking 40 years of insurance with these guys.
Yeah.
And they don't give a shit.
No.
I called them.
And they don't even know who you are.
Yeah. I they don't.
No,
I called
they don't.
Them and I told them, guys, you got to fix something here. I'm going to change this. And they were just like, well, sorry. This is just the way it is.
Yeah.
Bye. Peace out.
We had, I'm going to give you another scenario on the vehicle. So Morgan was driving a 21 Tahoe. Okay. These SUVs are big, expensive vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
New. Right now, that vehicle new is probably $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The kids have grown up. We don't need a Tahoe anymore. It's 23, 24, whatever it was. And we got it at the end of 21, so it was almost a 22, but we had it for a couple of years. So we decide, all right, we're going to trade this thing off. We're going to get a all-wheel drive car, something that doesn't have, we don't need as much room, you know, whatever. So we buy a Subaru, a nice loaded Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
The value of this car is new, less than half of the Tahoe.
Okay. Wow.
So when I trade this Tahoe off and I get this new car, all of a sudden I get a letter in the mail. Oh, your insurance is going up $150 a month.
So, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I call him and I was like, I was like, guys, you gotta explain this to me, okay?
Yeah.
Because nothing's adding up.
And are you keeping your composure here?
Yeah. I'm talking to him just like this. And
okay.
The lady on the phone is like, well, you know, there's just all these things get taken into account, you know, like the cost of replacement, the ease of availability on parts. You know, how many shops work on these things? Like, there's so many variables. And I was like, ma'am, okay, I understand that you don't know what you're talking about. I know a lot about the automotive industry because mm-hmm. this is one of the things that I do. I really enjoy it. First of all, that Tahoe there that I just traded in, mm-hmm. if I want to get a headlight for that car, it's going to take 6 months. Okay, so don't talk to me about availability of parts because GM doesn't have them.
Yeah.
All right, so that one's out the door. Mm. Number two, cost of replacement. This is an $80,000 vehicle. This new one's a $35,000 vehicle.
That's okay. $35,000 is less than $80,000?
Right.
Okay.
You've got less than half of the exposure on this vehicle.
Yeah.
Safety standards is one of them. You mm-hmm. know, which vehicle's safety? Ma'am. Yes, this is a big Tahoe, and I'm going to be pretty safe in it, but Subaru is like the number one, if not one of the number one rated safety vehicles on the market.
Right.
Well, but that, you know, that means that they cost more to repair because they have more safety features. I said, oh, the most they can cost is $35,000.
Yeah.
Because then it's a new one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to junk it at, what, 16 anyway?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or not even.
Yeah. None of it makes any sense, and they just go back to it. They're just like, well, sorry, it's just how it is.
That's how it is.
I mean, make this make sense. Make this system make sense.
That's rough. Yeah. God damn.
There's nothing to say for it. It's such shit.
And the thing is you don't want to dig in. Like when I told you earlier, like, hey, if I was you, I'd dig in a little bit. You don't want to because you're going to go down a rabbit hole that's going to make you so damn mad.
Sure. Yeah. And like we just have our auto payments on and we're just.
Well, that's where they're getting everybody.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Well, and then auto payments can go wrong too. But no, we were on what service was it? But it did. It just like got way out of hand. We're like, what the hell's going on here?
Probably wasn't.
Insurance, now that I think of it. We had to call it back. Like, how did this double or what? You know, it was pretty close to doubling because like we didn't green light anything. We didn't up any coverage or whatever. So you are bringing back some memories of 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. So. I've got so many other stories, but I'm freaking exhausted talking about it, just thinking about it. But it's, man, it's, like you said, it's just, the thing is just a racket.
So tell the listeners, like, what did you land on? We switched companies. Beneficial?
Yeah, what I ended up doing was just, you know, continuing to shop around,
mm-hmm.
finding a way on vehicles to save about $150 a month.
So just not much, huh?
Yeah.
But you jump through all the hoops, you change companies, but it was really at the end of the day, well, still, I mean, it's some savings.
Yeah. And some's better than none, for sure. And now, our most recent deal is school just started.
Mm-hmm.
Our 14-year-old has a school permit. I get an email from this particular company that says,
"Dear,
hey, oh yeah, little guy, mom must be around somewhere."
So orangey right now.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a deer outside of our window. The studio is out on the farm.
Yeah. Anyway, I get an email from this insurance company that says, hey, we know there's a new driver in your house. It says either add him to the policy or we're automatically doing it for you.
Like, what? How? How the F?
Yeah.
It's,
and don't even get me started on the stories of places like Live 360 and whoever else selling the data to the insurance companies.
Yeah.
This should make you happy. The state of Nebraska is actually suing GM. We're the only state that's doing this,
they're
to
GM,
my knowledge.
GM, great example.
For that OnStar system, everyone thought, oh, this is great. This is free. This is neat. Then they started charging for it. And then from day one, they were always selling your data, how fast you were driving in a construction zone to buyers. So, the book on you and what you're worth and your type of risk is already out there. And you kind of tip of the cap there to Nebraska. Like, I don't know why our AG wanted to go down that path, but he is.
I'm glad to hear that. And I'll tell you, we've always drove GM vehicles. All right. I love Chevrolet. I think it's great.
Yeah.
When I found out about that OnStar was doing this, you know, the, some like social media influencers went through the things to click on the app. I went in there. Mine was 100% turned on.
Of course.
It was it was sending all the stuff to them that they wanted, and I was paying for it.
You were paying. You were not only were you the consumer, you were also the piece of meat for sale.
Yeah.
Oh man,
unbelievable.
What was I talking about before I went on
Joel,
that rant?
Driving.
Oh yeah. So I get that email. So I'm like, oh my god. So where? Okay. So obviously they've got this data from somewhere, whatever. So I call the insurance agent. I talked to a couple buddies who have kids who have had school permits. And some of them were like, nah, we don't have to put our kid on the insurance, you know, whatever. So I called the insurance agent. They're like, absolutely, 100%, you have to put him on there. And I was like, well, why would my other friends, you know, have this or whatever? And he's like, I don't know what's going on with them, but they're missing something because it's required.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, what if I just decide that he's just not going to drive to school? We're just not going to do it because insurance is too much.
Yeah.
He goes, well, does he have the permit? And I said, yeah, he's got the permit. He goes, then you're required to have the insurance, period.
No effing way.
Yeah.
That sound right, does it?
So I go, he goes, otherwise your license, his license will be revoked. And I said, so you're telling me that the insurance company has the power to lobby the state to revoke my operator's license because I don't have insurance? Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that, but if you don't
lying
get
piece
it,
of shit, that is exactly
he's such
what
a
he's
liar.
Saying.
Yeah, yeah,
and it turns these people
I feel
into
like
weasels.
We should leave this new weasel.
Yeah. So we go back and forth. He goes, "Well, there is a form you can sign.
Oh, that says so now you're can waiving. Sign a form.
Oh, like a Warren Buffett form
that says you're waiving." He goes, "But your insurance is still going to go up. It was like $10 to $25 a month or something like that." And I was like, okay, so I'm going to sign a form that says this kid's not driving, but my insurance is going to go up anyway just because he's not driving. And he's like, yep, that's how it works. So he gave me the quotes. So it was another $110 a month if the kid's going to be on the policy, and it was like another $20 a month if the kid's not going to be on the policy.
It still makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah. So then I messaged my previous insurance company who was, you know, based on all the math, was charging me about $150 more a month.
At this point, all of them are really happy to see
they're
your
all
number
snakes.
Pop up.
Yeah. They're like, oh, this fucking guy again.
Evers again.
Yeah. So I sent him a message. I said, what's your guys' requirement on school permits? And they messaged me back, well, in general, the company doesn't like to add anybody until they're 16. And then when they're 16, they get put on the whole home policy, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, well, since I've canceled you and we've reset everything, do you want to go ahead and requote me everything? And they're like, oh, yeah, we'd be happy
to. Sure, of course, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But if this company isn't going to charge the 110 or 150 or whatever it is, I mean, Jesus, again, it's back to like, what
are
we doing?
So then we're
going
to go back to the other people again, maybe?
I have no idea.
Tell them to requote it all, yeah.
Might as well. They don't like this type of terminology, but it is what it is. It's blackmail. It's like, you're going to pay the $10 or $12 a month, or you're going to pay $25. What do you want? Yeah. What do you want? That's blackmail.
Right.
No, it's not, because look at all the words I'm using. Look at these long words that I'm using, you know. You guys just don't get it. You don't understand. Don't understand that a Subaru that costs $35,000 is way more harder to insure than an $80,000 tricked out Tahoe. We're just common folk.
We're
just common folk.
What are we to do?
I got one funny story for you before we go. You're talking about insurance companies not caring. And this is case in point, our people. And I'm not going to say their name or anything, but we went through a friend that just got through school and got his license and this and that. So, all right, you know what? We're getting to be big boys and girls now. We're out of school, you know. So we signed him up for everything. We had our apartment, our cars, too. You know, Ash and I had a car. She had a car. And about 8 or 9 years into it, he decided he wanted to get out of the insurance game. So he sold his book to one of his buddies within that company.
Okay.
And then a few years after that, that guy retired and he sold his book to another guy. So like, I think it changed again.
Yeah.
So like, I think I missed like two guys in there that I just never talked to or anything. But I would get looped into these emails, and they would open every email with, "Hey Ashley, just touching base with you, Ashley." And you know, just trying to be very personable. And I would write him back. I bet I did this about 5 or 6 months in a row. Like, my name's not Ashley. That's my wife. This is A. Klassen is Andy Klassen. You know, please. And then I'd always get the return canned. Oh, sorry about that inconvenience. We'll get that changed up right now. I mean, that was the cadence. And I did that for probably a half a year in a row, you know. And then one day I just had a wild hair. It was probably about a year later. And this was like the fourth agent since we've And I gave him the good old, look, I know I'm only a number to you. Like our home, our two vehicles, our 2.5 dogs. I know we're just a number and we're just a policy. But when you're greeting me and wishing me a happy birthday and this and that, please call me Andy, not my wife Ashley's name. He personally wrote me back, oh man, Andy, you are so much more than a number to us. You are not, get out of here, Andy, with that. And then I'm like, okay, well, you know, I just said that, you know, just because I'm getting tired of it. And you guys keep on trying to make me feel like you're being personable and buddy-buddy, but you're calling me by my wife's name. Very next month. Greetings, Ashley.
Oh,
what's your, you don't have to say your whole email address, but what is your name in your email address?
Last name. So Klassen. So okay, you could say, Ashley Klassen. Yeah. But I mean, I bet about 20 times over the last 30 years I've corrected them just told them, like, my name isn't Ashley.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
No, they don't. You are a number.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
They just want
your
money.
Just own it. Yeah. I would have thought you were a lot more cool if you would have just owned it.
Yeah. And honestly, that's the saddest part for me is that, like I said, I've had the same insurance company for 40 years, and I'm a loyal dude, and I value relationships. I value loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not there.
It's in that game.
What I 100% believed was there was not. It's not there.
No.
And I don't know if you'll ever find it, even if you had a best friend that did it. Because they're still selling your stuff.
If I had a best friend that did it, I'd probably get a little bit.
They would at least fight for you. They'd at least go to the bat for you. Because we felt that way with our buddy. And then,
you think?
And then he just got. And he really would. Like, he would go out of his way to go check out your car or this or that, you know?
Yeah.
But then he's like, I'm out.
But again, like I said, they're trying to run those people off anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a dying breed.
You touched on advertising and how that's kind of a telltale sign.
Yeah.
In my marketing brain, how it's a huge telltale sign is those commercials have nothing to do with what they're providing anymore.
Right.
It's a freaking duck quacking around. Yep. It's the new, what's that guy's name? Wears khakis. Like, that was a really funny ad campaign.
Jake.
Yeah, the new Jake, man of color. Yeah. It's buddies with all these professional athletes and making jokes and self-deprecating. It has nothing to do with the products they're selling. It's just an image of, hey, guy, I'm your buddy, guy. Yep. You're my friend, guy. I'm your friend.
But I don't think it's any different locally. You have a rep on the damn billboard, and you try to go talk to them. Nope, you're just getting their girls. You ain't going to get to talk to them.
That's true. If they've owned that book long enough.
You know what I mean? You don't get to talk to that guy. Nope. You got to go through like three other people. Is he even a real person?
My agent, when I went through all the stuff that I went through, she's talking about our agency. I was talking to the ladies, and I was telling them, I was literally telling these ladies, I was like, ma'am, I'm on the verge of dropping you 100%. I said, my recommendation to you is to run this problem up to XYZ guy and have him call me. They never did. So I called and canceled. 10 minutes later, guess who called me?
I hate to tell you this, Ben, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Ron Burgundy over here.
Yeah.
Big deal to you. Huh?
Yeah. It's sad, man. And I should know better, but I went through this with cell phone companies. I had the same cell phone company since I was, 14 years old.
Yeah.
And finally canceled them like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I thought there was loyalty. There wasn't.
Mm-mm.
Now it's the same thing with the insurance. I think once upon a time there was.
Sure.
But it's all changed so much, man. Yeah. It's all commoditized now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you'll have to tell me about your cell phone thing because I'm itching to get out of what we've been doing, especially with all these ads from like Mint Mobile and others.
You got to hook them up with your guy.
I just don't know if the service would work.
I don't have any great news for you, to be honest.
But you like our cell phone guy.
It's a little bit.
He's helpful.
I'm just going to be honest here.
I would love to talk to somebody who knows more about like those little companies that you're talking about because they sure sound appealing.
Actually, last night, that was a commercial I saw and I was like, dang, we should be going for whatever this random wireless company that says, not even like T-Mobile. It was like
we
some
got roped into
hodgepodge.
Ours just because it had service at least.
Yeah,
like
right.
When we were just trying to like save $20, $30 a month, yeah. like we couldn't even use our cell phones in our own house.
Right.
So we got moved to a different one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Boy,
sucks.
They got you by the short hairs.
Let us know what you think about insurance, man. I imagine you're probably all
pissed as I am. Or maybe there's an
insurance
agent that's so amazing that wants to help us.
If there's one that's a listener that knows.
Why are you laughing at us, Andy? I mean, we have already gone through two. We're about to go back to
I think
the
Ben laid it out really good for like 50 minutes why I don't want him as a customer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're going to be like, fuck this.
True. That's true. All right. All right, fine.
Run away.
Yeah.
He wants to be your buddy, you guys. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one company that's not going to screw you over and is there for you is Barn Owl.
Loyal to a fault, right?
BarnOwl.tech. Check them out. If you're looking for any cameras for your farm, your homestead, your property, not to look at your neighbors, Morgan.
Mm-hmm. You can put it on a food plot too, right? I'm looking at those new models. They're looking pretty sweet.
The new models, they're going to hook us up. I was talking to them the other week. They're going to send some out. So
don't we need to put some feed down anyway, speaking of that?
We got to put some. We got to do some tilling down there. Yep. We got to get the seed down.
I'm ready to go.
We got some work to do. It's time.
I got the seed.
I want to help. Since
okay, you can help
because you need to get a deer too, so it'll be you and me.
I'm gonna get Millie a deer,
yeah.
anyway, so our Barn Owl cameras, we use them up here on our lane to monitor the property, see people coming in and out, cellular connected. I get multiple messages every single day on my phone from the Barn Owl camera.
Is it annoying or no?
No, it's not because I'm always interested. Like, it's opened my eyes to one, how much more traffic's on the road than I knew was.
Right.
Number two,
being a dead end too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two, how much more wildlife is on the road than
I
realized.
Yeah.
I see wildlife on there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then our second camera we're using down at our hunting area and seeing and tracking, you know, the deer right now.
Yep.
We've got one. We talked about this last time. We've got one with one antler. I keep watching him. I'm like, dude.
I got that picture of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of where the. When it was still in velvet and it snapped off.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait till you get a picture of an elk.
I can show it to you.
On our barn owl.
Owl. Okay.
Wouldn't that be
okay.
so sweet if we're like, ooh.
I bet it happens eventually.
Yeah, it will.
We can get one.
Okay.
But check them out. If you're looking for camera systems, they're super affordable. They're very reliable, very user-friendly. BarnOwl.tech, code FARMFOCUSED, all one word. You get 10% off anything on there. Best way to support the show. Get some of that stuff or go to farmfocused.com.
Mm-hmm.
Buy some gear, use code COMMONFOLK, you get 20% off as always for being a listener. So
all
check
right.
the stuff out, man.
Let's go.
Yeah. So, that's my spiel on insurance. I could go on a lot longer, but I'm going to save you the rant.
No, but point is dig in.
And dig into it, yeah, see what's up.
Figure out if you're getting screwed.
Get yourself real pissed because you're going to find out you are.
I'm kidding. Andy's going to go home and send a text later like, God damn it.
Uplifting message here.
I know. No. I mean, yeah, I guess we could end on a nice note.
I don't have any nice notes to you.
Okay, all right, never mind.
Except Barn Owl.
Barn Owl.
Check out Barn Owl.
There you go.
All right, anything else? Later.
Later.